All right. Does anybody know what this week is? Does this week mean anything to you, biblically speaking? This week, on September the 25th, marked the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets. One of the seven feasts that are celebrated in the Bible. And, you know, the Feast of Trumpets are a picture of the mission work that Christ would do when he came. And many believe the Feast of Trumpets features the time and is a picture of the time that Jesus Christ will come back for his church. And so there are a lot of people that even though they go to church and even though they've got a Bible, they don't know what the Feast of Trumpets means. They don't know how to relate the Feast of Trumpets to the work of Christ and what that work is. And we're warned in the Bible to watch, for we know not what hour our Master shall come, right? That's what the Feast of Trumpets is. It's a picture. That feast was a picture for Israel. It was preaching Christ and saying that, you know, your Redeemer is coming. Prepare and be ready. And that's what it says to us. But unfortunately, many today don't know anything about it because it isn't taught and it isn't spoken of. A lot of people say, well, I'm not Jewish. Why should I know anything about it? Well, our Master, Jesus Christ, was he a Gentile or was he a Jewish man? Well, seems like we should want to know a little bit about Jesus Christ, and it was very much a part of Jesus Christ. All the years that he was upon the earth, he kept those feasts. And he kept those feasts because he came to be what to us? And an example, right? Also, he's the one that told us to pray like this, right? He's the one that said, these things I do, but greater things than these shall ye do. Because he said, I'm going to the Father. And so he taught us, just as 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he is of Christ ought to walk also as Christ walked. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is just one of seven of the feasts. Four of those feasts are fulfilled. There's three of those feasts that are not fulfilled yet, and the one that isn't fulfilled yet is the Feast of Trumpets because Jesus has not returned for his church, has he? The Bible tells us in the book of Thessalonians that at that last trump, what does that mean? That's a trumpet sound, right? This is the Feast of Trumpets, right? The blowing of trumpets is what this is. The Bible tells us that at that last trump, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? We're going to be a part of that number, I hope, don't you? If we die before Christ returns, I want to be a part of that number that the Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's the resurrection we're talking about. That's important. Yes, Gene. Only that it's a time to search inwardly, and it's a time of repentance, because, you know, we have the Jewish New Year that starts the Feast of Trumpets, and then, you know, that's the seventh month, the first day of the Jewish calendar. It's the ninth month for us because we use a different calendar in the U.S., if you understand. And so on the 10th day of the seventh month in the Bible, it says that that was the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was when all of the sins of the people were taken and the blood of the bull and the lamb were sprinkled and atonement was made for the sins of God's people. And God at that time, he made all things new again for another year. It was a time of repentance leading up to that payment that was made for sin. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, right? But you know, that lamb, that animal, couldn't permanently take sin away. that bullet couldn't permanently take sin away. That's why Jesus Christ had to come, and it says that he is the Lamb, because it would take his blood to thoroughly purge us once and for all, and for forever erase the stain of sin from our life. And, you know, that's what the Feast of Atonement speaks of, is that time when Jesus Christ ultimately makes the atonement once and for all. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our high priest in heaven, and that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen. And so he is the one that has taken that blood, and he is the one that accepts us. And incidentally, he will be the one to judge those that reject him. The Feast of Trumpets, we'll talk a little bit about it today, maybe not a long time, but just to kind of give us an idea of what it is, because most of us are babes when it comes to these feast days. And even myself, I admit that I have not heard about the feasts all my life, but only in the last few years have they come to me to mean something, because I've discovered that they're still in the Word of God. They're still mentioned in the Word of God, but very often, most people refuse to speak of them. And so, there's one scripture I would like to read concerning this, and it's a scripture that Paul speaks of, and there are those that say, well, you know, we're not Jews, and so why should this, you know, really mean anything to us? And I think it should mean something to us in the sense that Jesus Christ says that he's not a respecter of persons, isn't it true? The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. But he says that this message of the gospel has first went to the Jews and then the Gentiles. And it says that we are all of one blood. Now, what blood is that? The blood of Jesus. Amen. We're one family under one name, that name of Jesus Christ. That the Bible says that the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and we're called by that name. That's why it's important that we are baptized in that name, because that is the name that is above every name. The Bible says the only name under heaven given among men by where we must be saved. And so that's why we teach and preach and also example and do as the apostles did in Acts chapter 2 verse 38 in baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if we baptized in that name, then we have fulfilled all of the scriptures, because we have baptized then in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. And that name that has been given, that name that is greater than any other name, that name that every knee in heaven and earth is going to bow to, is the name of Jesus Christ. And so, because of the scriptures, because of the example given, that's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Feast of Trumpets are a picture of the work of Jesus Christ, the work that he will do, the work that is yet to be fulfilled, and three of those feasts are yet to be fulfilled. And so, this morning, has anybody got a prayer request that you'd like to pray about before we begin? Yes, Sister Yolanda. Yes. Sister Yolanda, we're praying that God will strengthen you and restore you quickly. You know, if we can't sleep, it's hard to feel good. If you don't sleep good, it's hard to be rested. If you're not rested, it's hard to remember, too. Doing some reading on memory here lately, and it says that if you don't sleep well, your memory will begin to give you problems. And there are several people that I know and love that are experiencing that. You know, there's nothing greater than to have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. That's even better than a healthy body, because this body's temporary, but our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be eternal. Amen. And so we want to remember Brother Leroy while they're traveling this morning. We want to remember Dennis. He called me through the week and spoke briefly with me, and appreciate his desire to come when he can and to be with us, and pray that God would do some wonderful things in his life and helping him. We've all got things we need to overcome. You know, we've all got things we need God to strengthen us and to help us with. And, you know, when people come and they visit with us, whether they come and they worship or whether they come and just listen. They're coming and they're sitting in the presence of God's Spirit. They're hearing the Word of God, and they're in the best place that they can be at that time. And we want to make them feel comfortable. We want to make them feel welcome, because God welcomed us. The Bible says God loved us even when we were yet sinners. And you know, when God looked at us as a sinner, there was nothing that he could desire of us. There was no good thing in us that he could say, oh, I can agree with that right there. Come here. But he looked at us knowing that we were lost, knowing that we were fallen, and he loved us and said, you're broken, but I can fix it. And you know, that's how all people are without Jesus Christ. Whether they know it or not, they're broken. And they need God to fix what's broken. And sometimes it takes a while for them to even realize just how broken they are. But you know, the word of truth will reveal, you know, the brokenness that is in our life and point us to Christ, which is the healer. And many people have broken relationships, bodies that don't function as they should, relationships that aren't quite what they wish they would be. But Jesus Christ can carry us through all of that, and he can help us to overcome those things that have hindered us for a long time. So if we don't have anything else, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Yes, we want to remember all of our children. Yes. Yes. All of us have children that need to be saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to gather in your name. We thank you for this special time during the Feast of Trumpets, where your word speaks to us and encourages us to know and to understand that the time is coming and is soon upon us that you'll return, that you'll come at a time when we don't know that you're going to come, that no man knows the exact day or the hour, but help us to understand that the seasons, as they come each year for the fruit trees and for the springtime and for the harvest, that we can tell that the time is near. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts in a way that we would be concerned, that we would be diligently watching, waiting, and be about the Father's business, so we're not found slothful or doing things, Lord, that are not pleasing when you come for those that are yours. Lord, we love you this morning. We lift up all of these that are sick in body. Lord, each one of us, as we deal with things in our lives, in our personal lives, in our bodies, as we deal with spiritual warfare and relationships, Lord, we ask that you would intervene. Lord, that you would loose angels in those situations we have no power in. Lord, to make the way for salvation to those that need to hear the word of Jesus Christ spoken into their life. Lord, those that need to know how to be healed, those that need to know how to be saved, Lord, we pray that your word would go forth. Lord, that you would bear us up. Lord Jesus, strengthen us. Give us a voice, Lord, that speaks truth, that speaks hope, and that speaks the hope and the truth and love. Lord, all of these, Lord, that are upon this prayer request here, as there are many names upon names, Lord, we lift them up again before you, knowing that you've not forgotten one of them, but you have a plan and a purpose for each one. And that plan and that purpose ultimately is to be in the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to live our lives as an example and a testimony to that saving grace, Lord, that you've bestowed upon each one of us. Help us to testify to the ones we love, as we may be the ones that they hear before they hear anyone else. Help us to live a life, Lord Jesus, that's an example, as it might be our walk that they see before they ever know and understand anything else concerned with your word. Lord, we ask you to strengthen us by your Spirit. Lord, give us might. Give us strength through the power of the Holy Ghost to fulfill your will, your word, and your purpose for our lives, that we can be a help, a light, to speak the truth to those that are about us and to lift them up that are struggling. Lord, to speak hope to those that seem hopeless. Lord, to be a brother, a sister, or a father or a mother to those that don't have those to come alongside them and help them. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, the Spirit that bears with us day to day, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to keep us in the name of Jesus, in your perfect will. Amen. Learning to lean on Jesus. sometimes that's a lifelong lesson for us. As we grow, we learn more and more to lean on Him. About the feast. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was speaking to a church that sometime was disobedient. He was talking to a church that was spiritual but was sometimes operating in a realm that wasn't glorifying God. We see a lot of letters and a lot of subjects in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians dealing with the Corinthian church. And, you know, from what we can see in Scripture, it predominantly was not Jewish people in the church at Corinth, but most of these were Gentiles and people of other nations. And I want to read a little bit what it says here in chapter 5. When he talks to them about some of these things that were going on in the midst of them. Now, the Bible tells us that when we come to Christ and we repent of our sins, that Christ is just, amen, and merciful to forgive us our sins and wash us from all of our sins with his blood, amen. But this is what Paul was speaking to these folks about. Verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, he said, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you, for I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed." He says this is something that's ongoing. Someone in the body of Christ here that has sinned this horrific sin in having an adulterous affair with his father's wife, and you've turned a blind eye and no one has said anything about it. And in verse 4 he says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" What he's saying here is if you let a little bit of sin to begin to creep into a person's life and it's unchecked by the word of God, where does the Bible say judgment begins? At the house of God, amen? Why does it begin at the house of God? Because that's where the word of God is preached and spoken, amen? That's where we glorify God. That's where we pray the prayer of faith. And that's where we're going to hear the word of God. And the word of God not only contains the grace and the mercy of God and the promise that we can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but the word of God also contains what? The law of God. How many know that God has a law? That God's not lawless? He says, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" Now, the theory of this is that when the baker makes his bread and he puts all the ingredients in there, if he doesn't put the yeast in there, the bread won't rise, will it? And so if he don't put the yeast in there, it's going to be flat bread, isn't it? Now, if you want flat bread and someone comes along and you're not looking and they drop a little bit of yeast in that mix, and you mix all that up and you say, "Boy, I've got some good flatbread mix going here. It's unleavened, it's just right," and you leave it lay there and you walk away for a little bit, what's going to happen when you come back? Going to be all puffed up in it. And he uses this analogy to say that a little bit of sin unchecked in our life can cause problems in our whole being. Just as a little bit of yeast can cause problems and make that bread rise, just a little bit of sin can upset the whole balance of our whole being. And left unchecked, it's dangerous. And he says, "Your glorying is not good. Therefore," he says, "purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Now, during the days of unleavened bread, which is one of the feasts, that was right after the Passover. And that feast of unleavened bread was a time when people went into their houses and they took out all the yeast. It was taken out of their house because that yeast represented what Christ wanted to cleanse them from. It represented sin. And so their tradition was to take all that yeast out of their house and find their house clean. Nothing in there in the way of sin. And that's what we do when we look at ourselves. Paul says, let every man examine himself to what? See if he be in the, starts with an F, faith. He says, let every man examine himself to see if he be in the faith. There can come a time when we may be playing the part, we may be dressing and looking the part, but we may not really be living the part. And so let every man examine himself to see if he truly is in the faith. Now, we see in the Bible where it says that a man or a person without faith is like a body without a spirit. That the body without the spirit is what? Dead. The Bible tells us we were dead in our trespasses and sins before we came to Jesus Christ. And he did that work to resurrect us from that deadness of sin. He resurrected us from the deadness of sin. And the Bible tells us we should have no desire again to come under the yoke of that bondage, to be overpowered by sin, overcome by it. And so Paul says that Christ indeed is our Passover and was sacrificed for us. And in verse 8, this is the key scripture. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, he uses the feast of unleavened bread as an analogy to speak to this First Corinthian church and say, look, you need to clean it up. Because a little bit of sin is going to cause a problem in the whole body. Now, he wasn't talking about just with each person, but he was talking about with the whole church. And how much and how often have we seen that where something happens in a body of believers? There might be 100 of them. Something happens with a person in the midst of there's a problem where, you know, they've fallen into sin or some unsavory circumstance. And because their family is in that church, someone talks and someone gets mad, and before you know it, you've got division. Before you know it, you've got a lot of gossip and you've got a lot of problems and you've got a lot of confusion. The Bible lets us know that where confusion is, there is what? Every evil work. Every evil work where confusion is. And so Paul uses the analogy with the Corinthian church to remind them of what the feasts are. It happens in many churches, and not because they want it to, but because we are embroiled in a battle. You are in a battle today for your soul. And Satan desires, just as Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Just as he desired to destroy Peter, the enemy desires to destroy each one of us. Now, we're in this time now, beginning September the 25th of the Feast of Trumpets. And I just want to talk a little bit about what these Feasts of Trumpets are, because we don't want to be caught unaware. You know, I don't want to be found neglecting my duty. I don't want to be found neglecting my Lord and my Savior and my duty to Him, because the Bible tells me He is my master. I'm His servant. And if I'm His servant, I want to be known as a faithful servant. Amen. When we look down in the book of Revelation, it speaks of Jesus Christ saying, enter in, my good and faithful servant. I don't see anywhere in there where, you know, the Bible says that he's going to welcome those that have been unfaithful, that have willingly fought against his will, his word, and his purpose, or those who have sided with the enemy and said, well, you know, I don't really care for the things of God anyway. The Bible lets us know in the book of Revelation that those that have done that, that they have the mark of Satan upon them. And it says that there are those that have the mark of the beast. And it says that there is a number, and there's a number of that name. The Bible also speaks of those that are sealed by the Spirit of God, that have the Spirit and are sealed in their forehead by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you something. You can't see it in a visible form. There's no stamps on God's people's forehead saying, I'm a child of God. There's no physical stamp there. And you're not going to find a physical stamp there for those who have pledged allegiance to the enemy of God either, because the problem is in their heart. The worship and the love of God comes from the heart. The seal of the Holy Spirit is within us. Jesus Christ said that the kingdom is within you, and he related the kingdom of God to the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. And so if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you've got to have the Spirit of Christ living and abiding in you, because he said and he promised, he says, I'm going to send a comforter. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. And he says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power over all of the enemy. And so if we will just reach out our hands this morning and say, God, I don't have everything that I need. I don't have the strength that I need. I don't have the skill that I need to fight. But I know you do, Lord. I know that your promise through the word says that you will fight my battles. You will help me to stand in the day of trial and trouble. If we will submit ourselves to receive from God what we need to endure and to make it through, then he will provide everything. And we will stand before God one day, blameless, because we will have counted on him completely. It's not by works that we have done that we're going to be saved, but it is going to be by our submission to the Master and to the Master's will. And in that day, in the book of Revelations 11:15, it says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. How long is that? There's no end to that, is there? There's no end to that. The day of trumpets heralds the intervention of God in the affairs of humanity on a global basis. A dramatic turning point in world history and the return of Christ to this world. Now, it is possible. I'm not saying that it absolutely is, but it is very possible, according to the Word of God, that this time of the Feast of Trumpets that we're in right now can be a marker in time of God's conclusion to the problems of this world. God's conclusion, as we see, is that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new king upon this earth. There's going to be a new ruler upon this earth that's going to rule supreme, and it's going to be God Almighty. Amen. The nations of this world are not going to be able to run rampant as they have. They're not going to be able to do the things that they've done in trying to thwart God's plan and turn God away and turn people away from God. But ultimately, it's going to come to pass that Jesus Christ is going to accomplish every word that is in this book. Everything that he has promised in this book that's going to come to pass is going to come to pass. It's not conditional on whether we are an atheist or whether we are a believer. It's not conditional on whether we are a Christian or we're not submitted to Christ. It's not conditional on whether we believe or not, but God's word is true. The Bible says that God, his word never fails. Amen. And as we look back through history, we see that the word of God has come to pass time after time. The prophets have revealed things of old that have come to pass here near our present time. And I believe that the conclusion will be just as Christ said it was, that one day he's coming back, and upon his thigh and his vesture, it's going to say that he is truly the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Those that have worshipped other gods by other names, those who have worshipped and served in other religions that did not worship the one and true God, they will see him as he is. And the Bible tells us that even they will bow their knee before him and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, when it says every, that means every. That means all. No one's going to be left out. The atheist is going to realize the error of his way, and he's going to have to bow down before Christ. because he's going to stand before Christ in judgment. Jesus Christ sits on that judgment throne. That great white throne judgment is coming. And Jesus Christ sits upon that throne as the ultimate judge. And let me tell you, when you come before the King of Kings, you won't stand there proud. You won't stand there boasting. You won't stand there pointing your finger at someone else. But I promise you, if you come before him, you'll come before him worshiping, or you'll come before him respectful, bowing down and giving glory to the one that is holding everything about you in the palm of his hand. Amen. And so every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now in Leviticus, there's a passage speaks of the trumpet, and these Feast of Trumpets was important for several reasons. First, it commemorated the end of the agricultural and festival year. Also, the Day of Atonement fell on the 10th day of this month, and the Festival of Booths began on the 15th day. It says, the blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the month heralded a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement. Ultimately, the atonement is the important one, because were not for the atonement of Jesus Christ, we would be lost. If it were not for the atonement of our sins by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, none of us could be saved. And we'd all be wasting our time today if he didn't do it. If Jesus Christ was removed from the equation and there was no Jesus Christ, there was no sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, there was no blood that was spilled, that was sinless, all of the religions in the world would save nobody. All of the faith in the world would save no one. But it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can save us. And this blood is the blood of Jesus, the Lamb that was slain according to the word of God from the foundation of the world. It says, the blowing of trumpets on the first day of the month heralded a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement. This preparation time was called 10 days of repentance, or the days of awe. The trumpet sound was an alarm of sorts and can be understood as a call to introspection and repentance. Now, I want to encourage us this week to, as Paul said, examine ourselves. You know, are we encouraging the ones that we love? Are we encouraging our neighbor? Are we condemning? Are we encouraging? Are we coming along beside someone that's bearing a heavy load and trying to help them lift the load? Are we coming along beside them and putting more on their shoulders? We want to be sure that we are a part of the solution and the answer, which is Jesus Christ, and that we're about the business of the Father and sharing the gospel rather than to be one that is coming alongside and condemning and making the weight heavier for those that are about us. The Feast of Trumpets, along with the other six festivals of the Lord, foreshadowed certain aspects of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The prophets linked the blowing of the trumpets to the future day of judgment. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Amen. The day of the Lord is close at hand. Now, there's going to be some in the book of Amos that says that the day of the Lord is going to be like a man that was found walking along and a bear began to chase him. And so when the bear began to chase him, he runs into his house and he's so tired when he gets in the house and he's safe, he leans up against the wall to find the rest that he's been waiting on, and a viper bites him. He escapes the death of the bear and runs into the house where he believes he is saved. But when he gets into the safety of the house and he rests, a viper then strikes him. That's what it says the day of the Lord is going to be like for some. They're going to be unprepared. They're going to think that they found a place of safety. But when the day of the Lord comes, they're going to find themselves judged right along with those that never even sought to escape the bear. It speaks to us. Know and desire to be a good servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming. But let's not let him find us slothful. Let's not let him find us as that slothful servant that is not doing and being what he wants us to be. Jesus Christ wants us to be his glory. Amen. He wants us for his glory. When we are subject to him and submitted to him, we glorify him. And the enemy has no praise. But when we don't glorify our master and we do things that are spiteful in regard to the blood of Jesus Christ, who gets the glory? The enemy comes along and he begins to mock and he begins to speak and he begins to say, yeah, look at this one here. I've got this one. Yeah, you might have did some wonderful things, but I've got this one here. And Satan wants you to be a jewel in his crown instead of Christ. Did you know that? Satan comes but for one reason, the Bible says, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so this week I would encourage, if you have time, look in Leviticus chapter 23 and read chapter 23. It speaks of the feasts of the Lord. And I'd like you to read that and see if just reading on your own, you can see these feasts that are in there and see if you can see Christ in these feasts. Because it's important. Because these feasts are a foreshadowing of Christ's work. His work and his completion of the work. There's three feasts that are yet unfulfilled. But when those feasts are fulfilled, I believe with all my heart that these feasts are going to be fulfilled at his coming, just as those first four feasts were fulfilled at his first coming. He said, I'm coming back again, didn't he? Did he tell the truth? Some don't believe it. Some think, oh, the Bible even tells us, some have said, oh, you know, we've heard this all these years. Even our fathers said that, but yet we haven't seen him. And there are some that have given up. But I want to let you know, don't give up. We're too near home right now. We're too near the end of the race right now to give up hope, to stop. Amen. We are closer now to the coming of Christ than we've ever been before. And so let us not give up. And you know, this time of the Feast of Trumpets, it is a time that we should, as spiritual people who follow Jesus Christ, that we should examine ourselves. And if we find in ourselves anything, as that old song says, Lord, if you find anything in me, take it out, Lord. Take it out and pray for me. Because I want to be right, I want to be whole, and I want to be saved. Amen. We want to be right, we want to be whole, and we want to be saved. We're going to sing one more song here before we close. And this song, this song is Beulah Land. And you know, Beulah Land speaks of that promised land that we are told that we are going to inherit. That this land is not our home. This world isn't our home. It's just a place that God's using to prepare us ultimately for that promised land that he's prepared for us in heaven. I'm kind of homesick for a country for which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. looking down across the river where my faith's gonna end inside. There's just a few to that song. One of the things that strikes me about that song is that we are always so conscientious of time in this life. It seems like everything depends on time here. We get tired, it's because of the time. We got to rise and go about our labors and our deeds for the day, and it's always in keeping with time. We've got to be certain places at a certain time. The end of the day, the sun goes down and there's never enough time to get done what needs to be done. And there's always something else to do. But you know, it says that then in Beulah Land, time won't matter anymore. We'll have forever and eternity to accomplish all of the things that God has prepared for us. You know, the Bible tells us that it is not even entered in the heart or the mind of man the things that God has prepared for us. Now that speaks to me in great, great ways. Because sometimes I'm weary with the things of this world, the labors of this world. Sometimes my strength is weak. Sometimes my health is failing. Sometimes I wish I had more time. Sometimes I wish I had more resources. But God is preparing a place for us where there's unlimited resources. There's unlimited time. There's unlimited love. There's going to be unlimited relationships. There's going to be limitless potential. Because it's not even entered into the heart of, or the mind of man. The good things. I'm talking about good things. Not things that, as in this life, we endure that we wish we didn't have to, but in that time and in that place, there's going to be good things that we've not even imagined. Think of all the things that we've imagined that would satisfy and make us happy, that would make us content in this life. And yet, the writer says that even with all that, you haven't even began to even understand the goodness of God and the things that is waiting on you there. Isn't that something? With all that we know, the writer says, you yet don't know nothing about the goodness of God. The goodness that you've experienced here is just a little sliver, a little icing off the side of the cake that you've tasted. But one day you're going to see the cake and you're going to be so amazed at the cake that you're going to say, I didn't even know what a cake was. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Beulah Land.
I'm long.
because of the great things that Jesus Christ has prepared for us, let us, as Paul said, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the old leaven of the old man and the old man of sin, but let us keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Jesus Christ is truth. His word is truth. And if we live the truth and we walk in the truth, if we live and walk in the Spirit, then we're going to testify to the truth. Amen. The sincerity and the truth of God. There's often times that I see people of other faiths and other religions that testify to what they believe. But when they testify to what they believe, it's not long after that they'll be speaking of something else, and there'll be foul language coming from their conversation, or there'll be things that they're saying about people that don't glorify God at all. And it only confirms that they have put their hope in a false religion. They put their hope in a false God that cannot change and has not changed them for the good or for the better, that has not taken the old man or the old leaven of sin out of them and made them a new creature. But we serve a God that the Bible says that is taking the old stony heart out of us and putting a flesh heart in. He's taking us, after he has put that flesh heart in and he's putting his word in that heart and he's going a step farther, he's putting his Spirit in us. And he's saying, I'm going to abide with you now and forever. And it says that even our mind is being renewed, that we're being changed day by day into what? The glory of Christ. Amen. Day by day we're being changed. We're being transformed more and more into the glory of Jesus Christ, because he is our master, because we are submitting to him and allowing him to do the work that needs done. Let us remember grace and mercy in everything. And when we fail, when we fall, when we stumble, let's go to God right away and say, God, please forgive me. I know that I'm here for your purpose, and I'm only here for a little while. Help me to use it to your glory. Amen. Anybody have anything you want to share or say or question before we close? We'll close remembering those that we have here on our prayer list and those needs that have been spoken today in our midst. There's one that's always gathered with us, and his name is Jesus Christ. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be among you. And you're never alone, but he's always there with us to lead us and to guide us. Even when we feel alone, we're not alone, because he is there. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship today of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word that resounds in our ears and in our hearts. Lord, help it to find place in our hearts, Lord. Help it to find place there, that we can live and feed from your word. Lord, that it can become the substance that empowers us to continue. Empowers us to get up when we feel weak and continue in the strength of your word, your will, and your purpose. Lord, these whose names have been called today, these whose names are upon this list, this prayer list. Lord, those that are sick in body that we've been praying for, those that have been fighting with cancer, those that have been fighting with various diseases in their body, Lord, we continue to lift them up, knowing that you're able to heal, you're able to strengthen. Lord, that your will and your purpose will and shall be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Mm-hmm.